RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Indonesians' Hajj quota raised to 221,000. Information resilience must be part of national resilience. Now the news in detail. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has raised Indonesian Hajj quota to 221,000. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has increased the quota by 52,200, President Joko Widodo told a press conference on Wednesday. He said that the figure comprises of normal Hajj quota of 211,000 and additional 10,000 since 2013. Only 168,000 people could leave for Hajj since Saudi Mirat has been renovating the Al Haram Mosque compound. Indonesia had been lobbying for additional Hajj quota since 2015 when President Joko Widodo visited Saudi Arabia on September the same year. The lobby continues as President Joko Widodo and Saudi Arabian Monarch representative met in Guangzhou, China in September last year. Such as President Joko Widodo said, preparation ahead of Hajj pilgrimage this year can be made as soon as possible. Inappropriate information disseminated through social media has worried Indonesia. Such kind information is expected not to be disseminated directly by the user of social media, but it must be well analyzed first. So if the information is not factually good, the users of social media do not have to disseminate it purely. This was affirmed by the Indonesian Army spokesman Brigadier General Sabrar Fadila after gathering with journalists at Army Media Center in Jakarta on Wednesday. He further said Indonesia must be able to prevent information resilience.
Kita perlu menjadikan ketahanan informasi ini.
We need to make information resilience as part of national resilience to comprehend. We need to have enough information and enough resilience. So if there is inappropriate information or bad information as national component, we must have self-courage to say this information is not good, so we will not disseminate it.
Keberanian punya kemampuan untuk mengatakan, oh ini berita nggak benar, tidak akan saya sharing.
Moreover, General Sabrar Fadil also explained that inappropriate information through social media is distraction for Indonesia, even as become proxy war. Thus, he urged all state components to find out appropriate formula and make appropriate system so that Indonesian information resilience can be maintained. Indonesian government appeals one of Islam organization Nahdlatul Ulama in Indonesia and Jew to cooperate in fighting against radicalization across Indonesia. This was affirmed by head of Nahdlatul Ulama, Said Agil Siraj, during the meeting with President Joko Widodo in the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday. Said views that the act of radicalism has become huge concerns that need the support from Ulama and Islamic scholars to spread the moderate Islamic teaching as well as tolerant spirit. Moreover, Said Agil also encourages the need to create a national curriculum that emphasizes the democracy and tolerant values towards students and teachers.
Indikasi fenomena menguatnya Islam radikal.
The phenomenon of the strengthening of radical Islamic teachings has become our concern. How to reinforce the moderate Islamic teaching is that we must push the role of Islamic scholar and ulama to be guides, teachers, and advisors. We also need a curriculum for long-term agenda and how we put Pancasila value in our national curriculum.
Pancasila kita hidupkan lagi dengan semangat yang beda dari Orde Baru ya.
Furthermore, Said Agil Siraj also said that the spread of radicalism teachings in Indonesia was also caused by the knowledge gaps among Muslims. He also perceives that Muslims should realize that the Islamic principle teach about tolerance. In addition, Said also said President Joko Widodo has also asked Muslims to work together in dealing with social conflicts and the spread of hoax in the community, especially through social media. The General Election Commission, KPU, will hold phase out of the 3 Jakarta gubernatorial debate tomorrow, adopting the theme Social Economic Development for Jakarta. Gubernatorial debate will also be aired live on television. KPU Jakarta Chairman Sumarno said that gubernatorial candidates hold debate both on air and off air. On air debates will be broadcast by local television channels NEC TV, TV One, and Jawa Post TV. The next debate will be held on January 27 and February 10. Tomorrow's debate will be divided into 6 sessions, including sessions on the environment, public transport, and education. The issue of security of Jakarta residents, KPU Jakarta Commissioner Betty Epsilon Idros explained the debate will be hosted by former television presenter Ira Kusno. It will last for 2 hours starting 8 p.m. The KPU has also appointed 4 academicians as panelists who are tasked with preparing questions. State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno is promoting international halal certified food products, especially those produced by micro, small, and medium enterprises. She said that international certification is important because the market is huge and it will give a boost to small and medium enterprises in the country. Additionally, the international standard for micro and small medium enterprises products will make the business sector more qualified, resilient, and creative, as well as competitive in international market. There are many Indonesian food products that are eligible to compete with foreign products. Hence, halal certification will guarantee the quality of Indonesian products. Indonesian government needs to improve its efforts in curtailing the growing dissemination of fake news by providing effective counter-narratives and clarifications. Founder of Press and Development Study Institute, LSPP, Ignatius Haryanto said the government should make concerted effort to tackle untrue or misleading information purportedly spread by individuals or parties pushing their own business or political agenda. He told the Jakarta Post on Wednesday the government should optimize its public relations to provide balanced information to counter false news. He said the government efforts are necessary amid the rampant spread of false news and the public tendency to believe news or information that only support their assumptions. In their declaration of war against hoaxes and false news, the government has intensified censorship against websites thought to contain false information. The last item, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is scheduled to visit Indonesia and meet President Joko Widodo in Bogor, West Java on 15 to 16 January 2017. The meeting of the two heads of state will discuss cooperation in various fields, especially in the field of economic cooperation. Foreign First Minister spokesman Armanata Nasir said in Jakarta on Tuesday that there will be at least 30 entrepreneurs who will accompany Prime Minister Shinzo Abe to Indonesia. In addition to economic cooperation, the maritime sector has also become one of the concerns that will be discussed by both parties.
Perdana Menteri Jepang akan didampingi oleh sekitar 30 CEO pelaku usaha.
The Japanese Prime Minister will be accompanied by 30 CEOs, business people who are willing to improve cooperation and investment in Indonesia. Considering that there will be 30 CEOs, I believe that the economic sector will have a bigger portion to be discussed by both leaders. Some of economic and maritime issues to be discussed are infrastructure, increasing connectivity, as well as maritime cooperation.
Kerjasama di bidang upaya peningkatan konektivitas serta investasi di bidang maritim.
In addition to the economic cooperation, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and President Joko Widodo will also discuss various political, regional, and international issues. According to Armanata Nasir, the economic cooperation between Indonesia and Japan has shown positive trend in the last few years. In 2016, the total trade between the two countries reached $23.82 billion, while Japanese investment in Indonesia reached $4.598 billion. The positive trend will also shown in tourism sector. According to Armanata, there were 474,116 Japanese visits to Indonesia during 2016. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener commentary today entitled Foreign Mass Organization Expected to Contribute Optimally. Last year marked the beginning of new phase operation of foreign organization or international non-governmental organization NGOs in Indonesia following the enactment of Government Regulation No. 59/2016. This regulation regulates the social organization funded by foreign citizens or legal entity in Indonesia as an implementing regulation of Act No. 17/2013. There are worries in the community with their foreign organization to arise activities that may be detrimental to the Indonesian nation. But the government ensures that the regulation is more comprehensive in terms of the control and supervision than the previous rules. It is very indispensable in the middle of the swift currents of globalization for the Indonesian nation, which is part of the world community. Based on the record of Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, there had been dozens of foreign organizations registered in Indonesia. Essentially, the new regulation is not meant to freely open Indonesia for the activities of foreign parties, but is aimed to provide legal protection to be obeyed. Indonesia is not closed with the influence of the strict regulation, but this is legal protection considered as a form of service so that interested parties can practice well. The assistance of foreign organizations must be recognized as a double-edged knife. This can help solve the problem or it can also lead to serious problems. In addition, in Indonesia, there are open spreading issues of foreign intervention in almost every major event, such as the resignation of Indonesian Vice President. Inevitably, the presence of foreign organizations is needed by society. Like other nations, Indonesia has limitations. Moreover, as part of the world community, Indonesia does not live alone. The Indonesian people realize that the participation of the world community is necessary to make development successful. The foreign organizations are expected to contribute or cover the shortage of Indonesia in some areas. Development in each country is supposed to be a common concern of the world community. However, the failure of developing a country may affect other countries. As a result, this may even global impact. Take, for example, the management and conservation of the environment. One country alone does not care for it. The impact will gradually be felt by all citizens of the world. In this regard, Indonesia should be grateful if there are many foreign parties that show concerns. With the new regulation, presumably foreign mass organizations in Indonesia will further demonstrate their best contribution to the development of Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, nice to meet you again in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start from an event on January 12, 1964, it's about Zanzibar Revolution. Since 1698, Oman Sultanate master Zanzibar, but late 19th century, Zanzibar became one of the colonies of Great Britain. On 19 December 1963, Zanzibar was granted independence by Great Britain. Arabic minorities still held power and was led by Sultan of Zanzibar, African politician who gained 54% of vote at the parliamentary was disappointed with the fact. So on 12 January 1964, they led blood revolution in Zanzibar. In the revolution, at least 20,000 of Arab and South of Asia descent were killed. Sultan of Zanzibar was successfully overthrown. On 26 April 1964, Zanzibar joined Tanganyika African mainland to form the United Republic of Tanzania. The next event was in 1966 about three Tura demonstrations. After the abduction and killing of some military generals on 3rd September 1965, political situation in Indonesia became heated. The Indonesian Communist Party PKI was accused behind the incident, and a wave of demonstration demanding the dissolution of the party was getting her. The effects of uncertain political situation led to the economic situation became worse. As a result, the prices of basic needs continued to soar. Finally, on January 12, 1966, anti-communist organizations grouped under Pancasila Front issued the three demands of the people, or locally called Tritura, namely the dissolution of PKI, the clinching of cabinet of elements involved in the 30 September movement, and lower prices and economic improvements. The impact of the Tritura was on March 11, 1966, on which President Sukarno ordered Major General Suharto as the commander of the army to take the necessary actions to restore security and order. And the last event was in 2010 when Haiti earthquake occurred. The 2010 Haiti earthquake was a catastrophic magnitude of 7.0 scale Richter, and the earthquake occurred on 12 January 2010. An estimated 3 million people were affected by the quake. The earthquake caused major damage in Port-au-Prince, Chatmel, and other settlements in the region. Notable landmark buildings were significantly damaged or destroyed. Many countries responded to the appeals for humanitarian aid, pledging funds and dispatching rescue and medical teams, engineers, and support personnel. Haiti earthquake opened record of natural disaster that happened in the world throughout 2010. The United States Geological Survey said the disaster was the largest earthquake in Haiti within 200 years. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello, listeners. Nice to see you again in our regular program, Focus, over Arrival Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of today's focus is Journalists Play Strategic Role to Introduce ASEAN. Communication Affairs Director of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, Lee Yong-yong, says that journalists play a very strategic role to closely introduce ASEAN to the community, especially within the framework of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC, which was agreed in December 2015. It was announced by Lee Yong-yong, opening in his speech at the meeting of Board of Directors of the Confederation of ASEAN Journalists, CAG, on Friday. He said that his side has been carrying out survey, and the result is that about 75% of the general public knows about ASEAN. He said most people in ASEAN countries understand an organization's name, but not knowing what to do and benefit for its programs. He said the involvement of the media is essential in providing accurate information on ASEAN and current issues in the region and prevent bias reporting. Lee Yong also said that journalists play an important role because they can improve and prevent society from misconceptions about issues that developed while guiding the community in facing the challenges and exploiting the opportunities created by the AEC. Lee Yong also added that the journalists and media can help people in developing ideas, making decisions, and all the opportunities of the AEC. The meeting of Board of Directors of the Confederation of ASEAN Journalists, CAG, was held in Jakarta on 5 January 2017, which was attended by delegates from the Philippines, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Thailand, and Vietnam. CAG was established in Jakarta on March 11, 1975, by the delegates of the National Journalist Organization member countries of ASEAN. One of the results of the CAG's meeting is an agreement between ASEAN Public Relations Network, APRN, and the Confederation of ASEAN Journalists, CAG, to enhance cooperation in the field of public relations and media. The agreement was signed by President CAG Tuan Hu and President APRN Prita Kamalgani, and it was also witnessed by the Communication Director for ASEAN, Lee Yong-yong, in Jakarta. Prita Kamalgani stated that the agreement between CAG and APRN is a joint commitment to face the challenges, to reduce differences, and to strengthen the understanding gap among ASEAN member countries. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has raised Indonesia's Hajj quota to 220,000. The Kingdom of Saudi Arabia has increased the quota by 52,200, President Joko Widodo told a press conference on Wednesday. Inappropriate information disseminated through social media has worried Indonesia. Such information is expected not to disseminate directly by the users of social media, but it must be well analyzed first. Indonesian government appeals one of Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama NU in Indonesia, to cooperate in fighting against radicalism across Indonesia. The General Election Commission KPU will hold phase out of a 3 Jakarta gubernatorial debate tomorrow, adopting the themed social economic development for Jakarta. Gubernatorial debate will also be aired live on television. State-owned Enterprises Minister Rini Sumarno is promoting international halal certified food products, especially those produced by micro, small and medium enterprises. Indonesian government needs to improve its efforts in curtailing the growing dissemination of fake news by providing effective counter-narratives and clarifications. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id. You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, the art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to get a culinary tour to Yogyakarta, so stay tuned. Listener, when you traveling to Yogyakarta, you can try to taste a variety of delicious culinary, especially typical culinary, which has existed since long time. One of culinary is very common for you, namely roti kolmbek. The culinary still survive until today because it tastes delicious and original. This traditional bread is used for offerings, but can now be enjoyed at any time. Roti kolmbek being produced by Beluran people, Sido Moyo, Godean, Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta. The name Kolmbek comes from the word Kolo Mben, which means pastime. Unbelievable, the bread has been known since around the Dutch colonial era. Roti kolmbek was firstly known as food offerings and many ordered when entering Sha'ban or the 8th month in the Islamic calendar. However, currently the bread has been sold freely and can be enjoyed by anyone. Unlike its name, which is difficult to be pronounced, the making process of kolmbek bread is quite simple and rectangular shape. The bread is brown and started with sliced nuts in the middle. Roti Columbine is made of cassava flour, sugar and eggs without preservatives. Seeing from the production process, it is somewhat complicated and requires a special technique that cannot be done by anyone. The raw material is tapioca flour, may not be changed to produce white color, white sugar, and eggs. Initially, flour and sugar are mixed for approximately 1/2 hour. The mixing is done manually without machine after it was printed in a special pan made of aluminium, then baked in mandeng grabah. Listener, when it has been ripe, the aroma of roti columbine so appetizing. The aroma and the softness of the bread has even tasted when the dough is still baked in grabah stove. Roti columbine is quite delicious taste, especially when eaten with hot tea. The bread that has existed since ancient times still survive in the market until now, especially in the traditional markets. The price is quite affordable. It is contained 10 roti columbine per pack, which is sold at a price of 5,000 rupiah. Not only rectangular, roti columbine is also made with circular and elongated shape. If you buy it, the columbine bread could last several days, especially if it put in a refrigerator. Listener, that was today's segment of Indonesian Wonder for Today with the topic Roti Columbine. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Indonesian anti-hoax community. Fake information or hoax is often spread in the internet and social media for the last few days. It tends to fake information if there is no source of information that can be verified. News or information is also tended to cover both sides and written on a tendentious tone. Hoax information is also displayed by anonymous source. In response to these issues, currently numbers of social media and people conducting a declaration of Indonesian anti-hoax community and the socialization of the impact of negative hoax. The declaration of Indonesian anti-hoax community and socialization of the negative impact of hoax was held in the middle of the crowd of car-free day on Sunday, January 8, 2017 in Jakarta. Besides Jakarta, the declaration was also held in Surabaya, Semarang, Solo, Wonosobo and Bandung. These activities is hopefully can attract social media users not to spread fake information or unclear issues without a source. The initiative of Indonesian anti-hoax community begins from Indonesian netizens that tried to fight hoax sporadically by establishing anti-hoax groups in social media. This movement then gathered and compiled into Indonesian anti-hoax community
to widen their movement. The community also makes several activities, such as socialization and workshops about fighting against hoax. The Indonesian anti-hoax community spread and actively developed in several provinces in Indonesia. Each of them move independently as they need. In Yogyakarta, for instance, they make cultural approach, while in Surabaya, through academic activities. To fight against hoax, people can also join with anti-hoax group that spread in social media, such as Facebook. Besides, people can also report it through the hoax website Turn Back Hoax at alamatdata.turnbackhoax.id. This site is one of initiative of Indonesian anti-hoax community to identify hoax and also function as hoax database in Indonesia. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Indonesian anti-hoax community. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We meet again in the next edition of Miscellany. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present you Indonesian pop singer Titik Sandora. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song by Titik Sandora entitled Bunga Mawar. Happy listening. Siti Sandora, whose real name Umiati, was born in Bentar, Bumiayu, Central Java, on January 20, 1954. She began her singing career in 1960s. Her first recording album entitled Si Bonchal, the music was arranged by Zainal Combo leader Zainal Arifin. Witty lyrics on the album put on the highest rank of the music charts in all state and private radio stations in Indonesia at that time. In addition to Si Bonchal, there are also a song entitled Fujiyama, Si Siti Jadi Pengantin, as well as Teman Sekolah. Titik Sandora's popularity continued to rise. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Merantau by Titik Sandora. Happy listening. That successfully sung by Titik Sandora confirms the uniqueness of her voice with a nice vibration compared to other singers at that time. The top career of Titik Sandora was reached after she performed in a duet with Mohsin Alatas. Along with the man from Makassar who later became her life partner, Titik Sandora successfully released their hit song such as Halo Sayang, Dunia Belum Kiamat, Hatimu, Hatiku, Pertemuan Adam dan Hawa, as well as Jangan Marah. Nevertheless, the songs of Titi and Mohsin have been well accepted by people in early 1970s. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Dunia Belum Kiamat and Hatimu dan Hatiku by duet Titi Sandora and Mohsin Alatas. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
kupikir-pikir sampai tua. Diri miskin, siapa yang mau?
Sabarlah sabar, tunggu dulu. Belum tentu orang tak mau.
Sudah kupikir sama saja.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.